Okay. This is making me sad now.
I know. It is sad, but I kind of laugh. It's perfect.
It's the Adam Gold Show. Victoria's in her feels because Christian McCaffrey is a San Francisco 49er. I don't blame her for being upset or being sentimental and emotional about it because he is a great player and he was a Carolina Panther and he is no longer a Carolina Panther. And it's the best players in your franchise are supposed to stay with your franchise. I got the Steve Smith thing. He had to go because the best player on your team at that point was Cam Newton, and that relationship wasn't good enough to keep Steve Smith around. I don't know if Steve Smith has ever admitted. I think he has admitted that he was kind of a jerk about that whole thing. But Christian McCaffrey should have been a forever Panther, but they had to do something because by the time they became good, it was Christian McCaffrey probably wouldn't be. Certainly not as good as he is now. And I've termed this really a mercy trade. Like, it was a mercy firing of Matt Rhule, put him out of his misery. This is giving Christian McCaffrey meaning to his career, serious meaning to the game that he's going to play, however many he has left to play. Luke Dukakis of the News and Observer joins us, as he does every Friday. All right, sir. Let's start with McCaffrey. It's sad. Your thoughts overall on what the Panthers got and what it means for Christian?
Let's see. I'm surprised that they couldn't get more, but I think it's probably a realistic return. I mean, when you compare it to what the Panthers gave up for Sam Darnold, it starts to look pretty good.
Yes.
But in the end, look, this team is probably – I think when you look at the offensive line, you look at the defense, this team can be competitive next year. They've got to get these decisions right that they keep getting wrong. But that said, I think if you can get this many draft picks for a running back who's often hurt, whose sell-by date is rapidly approaching, and who has a very large contract, I think they probably got out of this pretty easy. This was going to be an ugly divorce eventually because of the money involved. Given the circumstances with the team and the need to add some draft picks, it's probably a good time to cut the cord with McCaffrey and move forward. In the end, they're going to need to use that salary cap space on players who aren't running backs. It's not a running back league. I don't think that contract was a mistake because they had an asset and they had to keep it, but it put them in a difficult position. Now they can kind of move forward and spend that money where it's going to help them more. So I don't have any problem with this. I'm surprised the return wasn't bigger. I guess I shouldn't be. And as for McCaffrey, if he can stay healthy, he's going to a team that, is maybe not the greatest team on the planet, but now adds another weapon. The Niners have weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Deebo. They've got McCaffrey now. I mean, there's some talent there. They've got Kittle. It's a franchise that has assembled some weapons. So if they can find the right guy, whether that's a healthy Trey Lance or maybe it's Jimmy G after all or whatever, they put themselves in position to do really what the Panthers can't, which is score enough points that their very good defense can win games for them. And that's where the Panthers have to get to.
All right, the rare moment where I think Luke and I are on opposite sides of a discussion here. First of all, I agree that moving Christian McCaffrey was the right thing to do as much for this franchise as it is for Christian, the Sting song that kept popping into my mind this morning was, if you love someone, set them free. So they love Christian McCaffrey, so let him play games that have meaning. If he can play another 50 games in his career, they'll have meaning with the San Francisco 49ers. Or if he moves on beyond then, that's fine. I think he's going to stay with the 49ers for a couple of years, whether it's that contract. They'll restructure that contract anyway after this year because it's easily restructured. But I don't believe the Panthers. If I thought the Panthers could be competitive next year, like legitimately competitive, then I don't think you have to trade Christian McCaffrey. I just don't think they can be. I think they have more holes in their roster than I guess most people think they have holes in their roster. I think they need serious help at not only quarterback, but receiver. I think they need serious help on the defensive line. I think they need another cornerback. I don't think that, other than J.C. Horn, I think they're kind of thin at that position. I think they have depth issues everywhere. I think they're a couple of years away from being competitive.
I mean, I look at the way the defense has played to start the year, and if their offense had been even borderline incompetent as opposed to a complete disgrace,
right,
they'd have three wins. It's not a tough division. It's a league where everybody's kind of geared up to go 500. I mean, obviously their draft capital is not great, but you know, who knew at this time last year that Baker Mayfield would be available the next season? Now that hasn't worked out, but the point is, guys become available. You have to be nimble and flexible and have the cap space to make moves like that, which the Panthers did, and it didn't work. But it doesn't take much in this league. I think the defensive line is okay. I think the defense is fine, and if you can find a quarterback, which is, you know, obviously a big if, the Panthers may not be that far away. And we'll also see what Foreman and Hubbard have the rest of the season. I don't think either one of them is a cart horse back, but you never know. An opportunity can do strange things. You know, there's going to be guys out there, whether it's Elijah Moore or whoever, who might be able to help you, and you can. You can flip things around quickly if you make the right moves. Do we trust the Panthers to make the right moves? I don't know that that's a question that anyone really wants to answer at this point.
No. We have no idea if Scott Fitterer is the guy to rebuild. We knew that Dave Gettleman wasn't. We kind of identified that early on, that Dave Gettleman wasn't the guy. But, look, they have, again, I think they have serious holes in a lot of places that are going to be very difficult to maintain what they have and then fix other areas. I would have been an advocate for selling off almost everything except for, like, guys who are in their first or second years. I would have been fine with just selling everything for parts, getting as much draft capital as you could, and starting over. But that's not the way. To consider DJ Moore a foundational piece, I think they could, if they... I just don't know what you could get for DJ Moore. The biggest asset they have is Brian Burns.
Sure.
They could have gotten a first and a third, probably, maybe even more, for Brian Burns. But I understand why you wouldn't want to get rid of him. He's 24 years old, and he's one of the best young players at his position. I don't know if he's one of the best players at his position, but he's certainly one of the best young players at his position. He's got 4 sacks already through 6 games, so maybe he's going to have that bust out season. But I don't know. Do you think Baker's going to be the quarterback here next year?
I don't think there's any chance of it. He's just not right since the shoulder surgery. He can't elevate the ball. He's throwing the ball into the back of his linesman's helmets more often than anything else. It hasn't worked. It was worth a
no.
shot.
Yeah.
They didn't give up much. They spent
Nothing.
Some money. They gave up a draft pick. It didn't work.
Nope.
And honestly, look, people think I'm crazy when I say this. If you go back to the first 3 games of last season, when the offensive line was healthy and Christian McCaffrey was healthy, Sam Darnold looked like an NFL quarterback. Now, you and I disagree wholeheartedly on this. And now that McCaffrey's gone, I don't think you'll ever really know. But I would have liked to have seen what a healthy Sam Darnold could have done in week 2 or 3 of this season, when it was clear that Mayfield wasn't getting it done with McCaffrey, with this offensive line, which I think is fine. I don't think it's great. It's fine. It could have kept Darnold upright. I would have liked to have seen that, but that ship has sailed. They're going to have to figure something out, whether it's someone from somewhere else. I say this all the time. I am not a draft evaluator. I'm not crazy about the quarterbacks in this year's class. Maybe the Panthers are so great. I'd rather use that really high pick to get an impact player and try to find a quarterback somewhere else. But they're going to have to figure that out. It's not Sam Darnold. It's not P.J. Walker. It might be Matt Corral in 2 years, but will we ever know? It's certainly not Baker Mayfield. That they got to figure that out, or all the rest of this is just, you know, song and dance.
No question. They're going to have the first pick in the draft. They're that good, if you will. They're going to have the first pick in the draft. All right, Luke Tkach of the News and Observer. Let me ask you this question about the Carolina Hurricanes. 4 games. They lost last night, obviously. Late night, it was a sloppy game. I don't think Freddie Anderson was on top of it. Andrei Svechnikov absolutely was on top of his game. So give me your view 4 games into the season, stuff that you have really liked, stuff that jury's still out on for you.
Yeah, all right, really liked. Obviously, the best-case scenario for the Hurricanes was both Svechnikov and Marty Nate just looking like they had turned it up a notch, because these are two guys with so much potential, and even Svechnikov hasn't scratched the surface of his potential yet. We're seeing that now. We're, 2 weeks into the season. But that's what you wanted to see off the hop, and I think that's great. You could almost throw out the Oilers game. It's stupid penalties. It's at least one pretty bad goal. You can't do that against a team like the Oilers on the road. I mean, you're just not going to win. That's not something any team's going to overcome when you make those errors. I've been interested watching Brent Burns adjust. It reminds me a little bit of when Dougie Hamilton got here in the fall of 2018. When you have guys who are that cerebral and play the game at that high a level, it's really difficult for them to adjust to a new system sometimes, because they play without thinking most of the time, and now you're asking them to think, and he feels like he's just a hair millisecond behind where he's going to be when he gets more comfortable. But that I don't think that's a bad thing in any way. It just reminds me of the sort of Dougie Hamilton transition 4 years ago. Other than that, Freddie wasn't great last night, but he and Ronta have been fine in their opportunities so far. They've taken care of business on the road against bad teams, which is the mark of a good team. And in Edmonton last night, they didn't bring their best game. They made some critical mistakes, and they were still right in it at the end. So, this is a train rolling right down the tracks. I don't really see anything that really worries me. Obviously, there's a couple guys who haven't gotten started yet. Looks like Teravainen feels like it's still training camp, where he's always terrible. But over the course of his career, you have faith that he'll get it going. And, it'll be curious to see that, I think the Stahl, Stastny, Foss line is going to get some tough assignments in the next couple of games. It'll be interesting to see how they handle those, because that is a new group. And there is a little more tread off the tires for those guys. And that to me is not something that has raised any alarm bells for me so far, but certainly bears watching.
Yeah, it's funny, because I think the Stahl, Fast, Stastny line was broken up in the, I think, late second into the third period. Jordan Martinook was bumped up there. But they really haven't had an opportunity, except for the home game, when they played against Columbus, because Rod Brind'Amour controls the matchup. But the whether it was Seattle or Edmonton or San Jose, they were trying to attack the Kotkaniemi line, and we saw that didn't work for at least until Edmonton last night. Nobody really played. It was just a pond hockey game for the most part. It was all over the place, very sloppy. So I don't even know about Stahl, Fast, and Stastny. I don't think Paul's played great, but I also don't know that anybody on that line has played great. I think Jesper Foss has probably been the best player on that line, but I think it's kind of, I don't know, that line hasn't had really that many opportunities to show what they can do. I'm glad that you said that about Brent Burns, though, because my feeling is that we have to kind of temper our desire for Burns to be great immediately, when through watching we know he's not. He's been fine. He hasn't been bad. I think he made one, maybe two mistakes last night that cost a goal. He thought that Natchez was back on the shorthanded situation, and Natchez was not there, and Burns went to the passer as opposed to just leave him to Anderson, and maybe that prevents the two-on-one from scoring, and then McLeod scores the shorthanded goal, which was a killer, and I think it cost him on the next goal, with which Burns was also on the ice for with that. But I thought he kind of made maybe two mistakes last night that cost them. Anderson wasn't good. But I'm not worried about Brent Burns. But I think you're right. I think he's thinking. There was a play in either the first or early in the second period where he had the puck in the slot. And rather than shoot the puck from the deep slot, he passed it and no shot was taken. And that's got to be a shot.
Like Dougie, he's a guy who's going to play the game and think the game at a higher level than most players. I mean, most of the mistakes Dougie made, like letting guys get behind him at the blue line or whatever, was trying to make plays nobody else tries to make. And he got that dialed in the longer he was there that first season, and then he got hurt and that set him back. But, I think when you look at Burns, you just see a guy who's not quite the player that he usually is, because he's not as comfortable as he usually is.
Right.
And look, again, like with the Stahl line, there's no alarm bells here. This is just something that as an observation more than anything. It's going to be interesting watching him sort of get up to speed, get to know Jacob Slavin a little better. He's going to be fine. I mean, there's nothing in his history that would suggest he's not going to be fine, but it's just sort of interesting to watch that. And you know, the old guys too. I mean, that line has got to figure it out. They don't get the chances. You're right on the road. But they also should on the road, if they're not playing against the opposition's best line all the time, that line should, the way it plays, be creating opportunities for itself. And I don't feel like we've seen that to the same degree as last season.
No question.
Chemistry, as you said, they were broken up and Martinuk got a chance there. But I think those are just bare watching. I don't think there's any reason for panic yet. But, you know, there's a lot of good things going on. I mean, I think Aho's been good. I think, you know, obviously the Svechnikov, Natchez, Kokiemi line. I don't think Kokiemi's been exceptional, but those other two guys have been so good, no one cares. It's great to be a center playing with those two guys because you look like Wayne Gretzky no matter what you do.
I think Kokiniemi has done the little things well. He has not been an offensive contributor, but he's winning a lot of faceoffs, and I think he's been good in the middle. Yeah, he's been fine. And I've always said that's all he's got to be for me. Because the other two guys are going to do so much to create offense, and I think they're also both playing defense. Final thing real quick for Luke Tkach. The return to Spectrum Center for Zion Williamson for the first time since 2019 when he was wearing a Duke uniform. I'm sure you saw the highlights, at least, of Zion when the Pelicans went to Brooklyn and absolutely beat the brakes off the Nets. Just the smile to see Zion. That always jumped out at me about Williamson was how much fun he always had playing, and I'm glad we get a chance to see it again.
Yeah, it's funny. I wrote this the year after he left. If we were in an NIL world, I'm convinced he would have come back for a sophomore year at Duke because he would have made $10 million, and he would have had the most fun of anybody in college basketball. And someone else was, you know, had tweeted something about Zion going back to the Spectrum Center. I still say that's one of the best UNC Duke games I've seen. It may be the best. That semifinal in Charlotte with the winner playing Florida State. Zion's second game back, I think. Mm-hmm. It was up and down. It was crazy. You know, he hit the last shot, and I think Duke missed one, and UNC missed two shots that would have won it for either team. And remember, you know, after they won it, Zion celebrating on the floor with the devil and all the confetti coming down. I mean, we had missed that whole second half of the season, or last third of the season, because of his shoe broke and all that. And for him to come back on that stage and play the way he did in Charlotte was pretty remarkable. And that was just an epic game. One of the better ACC tournament games. I don't think it's up there with State Maryland, but one of the better ACC tournament games, one of the better games in the rivalry. We maybe have topped it since. But at the time, that was up near the top.
Yeah, Zion Williamson, his year at Duke, however many games he played, because he missed a bunch. Just a year that we were all lucky to be able to be around for. Luke Tkach of the NNO, I appreciate your time. At Luke Tkach on Twitter. Eventually, the Hurricanes will come home, and I'll see you at PNC Arena soon.
Maybe.
All right, man. Bud. Take care.
Talk to you next week.
You got it. Luke Tkach of the NNO.